Hi and welcome to MVC Storefront Part 10. This is a real-world application building exercise wherein we're building out an e-commerce storefront using ASP.NET MVC and test-driven development. My name is Rob Connery. I work for Microsoft. My email is robcon@microsoft.com. Please email me if you have any questions or leave a comment on this blog. So Part 9 sparked a lot of comments from the community about what I did with the SQL spike that I ran against the shopping cart, and I have to say I was caught a little bit off guard. The idea behind the whole episode was to create a quick spike to make sure I could do the basic CRUD operations, and I decided to use the shopping cart as my first pass at that. Unfortunately, what happened is I didn't spend enough time scheming out the architecture of the shopping cart. I sort of, to be honest, just kind of threw down some really basic setup stuff. Probably not a good idea, because what ended up is I got a whole bunch of comments on my blog, specifically attacking how much I knew about object-oriented programming and on and on and on. And that's all good. It all started a really great discussion. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about the shopping cart discussion probably in another few minutes. But for right now, I just kind of wanted to mention that as a bit of feedback. The main things I'm going to talk about are why I did what I did, and also the point that Jimmit brought up here, which is that you might want to wait until all the operations are done in a cart and save it at some point in time. I actually talked specifically about that, so I wanted to show that comment here. So that's coming up. The next bit of feedback I got was from Doug Mayer, as well as a lot of other folks, and they want to see authorization. So what is happening now is that the shopping cart stuff that I'm going to be doing and implementing into the site requires the notion of authorization and a user, so I'm going to get into that today. So without talking too much, let's get to it. Before I refactor anything, what I want to do is reset my database a little bit to be a little bit more streamlined, because I'm going to redo my spike here after I refactor to make sure everything works. So the first thing I did is I removed the auto increment primary key, and I reset it to be a composite key, which is a little bit more appropriate for a many-to-many join, or excuse me, a many-to-many table, which the shopping cart item definitely is, as you can see here with this structure. So that's the first thing I did, and then next thing I did is I talked to a few folks about, you know, I want to take another look at the shopping cart. As I mentioned previously, I kind of threw it together pretty quickly to test my CRUD spike. I used it just to say, well, can I talk to the database easily using Link to SQL in the so-called repository pattern that I've been using? And unfortunately, a lot of folks focused strongly on my architecture, which, you know, is my bad. I should have taken a little bit more care with that. So what I wanted to do today is refactor everything. And so what I did here, and I'll show you, is I kind of reset the interface. I've kept it a little bit the way I had it, but I've kept the small granular operations. Been having a lot of discussions on my blog and also email about how I've implemented the shopping cart for the SQL spike I just did, and I'm completely open to change. As I mentioned, that was just a prototype, pretty much, just to kind of test out whether CRUD operations can work well with the way I'm using SQL Server and this repository or so-called pattern. Anyway, the original plan was to essentially have a service that was a kind of a broker between the cart and the database and repository. And you know, the idea was that you have a service and you can add an item, throw the cart at it, product, yada yada. And I can see how that might be a little bit complicated, especially for folks who have used a little bit more of an active record approach or kind of a typical shopping cart approach, which is that you add an item and it's added and that's it. So in other words, the idea here is to have a bit of a smarter cart. And so I'm willing to do that. It sounds like a good operation. I think it ends up in a little bit of simplicity. So in terms of how I implement this, it comes down to an approach, and I want to go over that real quick. A lot of folks who've been following this read up on Fowler, and you know, I've been having a lot of domain-driven design discussions, and one of the main things is the idea of unit of work, or an atomic commit, as it's also known, and that is when you have a whole bunch of operations on a set of objects, and you have to keep track of them. You commit them at once. You could say that the shopping cart and the item manipulations would fall into that, and that is definitely an approach we could take. So if you could imagine, you know, items removed and added and updated, quantities changed, you could send it down to one save routine in your repository, and the repository would then be responsible for synchronizing with the database. That sounds reasonable to me. However, usually when I think about that stuff and I try and implement it, which I did actually, I wrote a couple tests and just wanted to see how hard it was, and it was about 50 lines of code, not so bad. But when you think about what are we really doing, you know, let's take a core set of assumptions, and that is that a shopping cart is an order, and it's just an order that's not checked out yet. You have items in your cart, and you're going to want to buy them. Every time you change that cart, it should be a transactional change. The overall transaction, of course, happens when you check out. But if you remove an item, add an item, change a quantity, whatever, that in itself should be a transaction, because this concept of readiness, that cart has to be ready to go, ready to check out, and also kind of always persisted. So you can understand this if you think about, you know, if you're at Amazon and you want to buy StarCraft. And let's say I'm here and I add it to my shopping cart, and then boom, the power goes out, or my wife comes in and says, "What do you think you're doing, buying more video games?" And I say, "Oops, nothing." When I do come back to buy this, I want it to be in my cart. You know, the idea here is that every time I add it, that should be a little atomic operation. So there's really no reason to fluff this up with the concept of batch save. Really, the add item in itself is an operation. So the question comes down to, do we do something like cart.addItem, cart.save, or whatever implementation we go with, or do we just say cart.addItem and have that be an atomic operation? For myself, that is the way I've gone with my refactor. I'd love to hear your ideas on this, and so let's take a look at how the code works. This is my updated shopping cart, and the concept here is it's taken the place of what it used to have, which was the shopping cart service. You can see it is now repository aware, something I'm not too hip on, but at the same time, I'm okay making this smarter. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. The constructor basically takes in a username. It can also take in the repository itself, and then we have a load routine, which basically goes to the repository and says, "Hey, give me the information so I can synchronize myself and set myself up with items and other information." Easy enough. And so now when we do operations like add item here, you can see that we're pulling the item out and we're adjusting the quantity as needed, and then we're setting it down to the repository. And each operation is a granular transaction, and I'll show you that in just a second. So you can see here that we can do a repository update quantity, repository add item, and all kind of falls in line with the logic that we used to have. We can remove the item and the cart can now delete itself. Now again, this sort of breaks the model I was after, which was to have all the logic contained in the services section here. However, you know, it's one of those arguments you could make that a shopping cart is a shopping cart is a shopping cart, and it should behave a certain way. So I'm really interested to hear your feedback on this. For me, the idea of simplicity is worth breaking, you know, some rules here and there. So do let me know your thoughts once again. So if we take a look now at the implementation in the SQL repository here, it is made all that much simpler now, because what we're doing is, you know, here's our get methods, which are still the same, but now we have a method, real simple stuff. When we add a cart, a couple lines of code, clearing the items, same. It's all transactional, all happens within one context session, if I can call it that. Adding an item is really simple. Removing the item and updating the quantity is really simple. And all the logic as to whether you add or remove and so on is still kept in the shopping cart, which is all right here. So that's it for the shopping cart refactor. The one cool thing I do want to mention before I keep moving on here is in terms of test-driven development, I have to say one more time how much props I have to give to that. I was able to come in and kind of tweak the test just a little bit because I changed obviously changed some code, but I was able to tweak my test, and when I was done, all I had to do is hit this test button, and all the tests ran, and of course a lot of them broke. But as you can see, with all these tests here, if you write them granular enough, if you make sure that you test every assumption, you can see that where they break is where you need to go and pay attention. And as all of them turn green, it's quite exciting, and I keep calling it a big fat green lawn to take a nap on. So everything works, which is the really cool part, because I have these tests now to back me up. Pretty happy with the way the shopping cart is testing and working. So now I'd like to implement this into the site. I'm getting ready for the next iteration, and so we can start getting cart interactions. First thing I want to do is to change the site master to have to display the current state of the cart. If we take a look at the starter kit, which is kind of what I'm patterning this after, this is kind of the look and feel that I'm going for here. you know, shows my cart. The zero here is how many items are in. Login button, register, etc. This kind of follows up with what is out there now, what people are used to. They're used to seeing cart information and personalization stuff up here. So I'm going to do that. First thing I'm going to do is open up the Site Master. And you can see it's pretty basic still. That's good. I'm going to open up the CSS for the site. And what I'm going to do now is create an ID for a spot to put this stuff. So I'm going to call it user account for right now. That'll be the display area. And now what I'm going to do is position this absolute, because it's going to be statically positioned all the time in the same place. And the next thing I'm going to do is to set the top right here to 10 pixels and the right as well to 10 pixels. And so if we come into the Site Master, what I can do is simply put this right here. And I can put this anywhere since it's positioned absolutely. So if I come in and put in user account, we're almost there. And now what I can do is stub this stuff out so I can see it visually, make sure it's there. And we can say cart, and then my account, and then I guess login out. So let's see, we run this. Here we go. And that's showing up nicely. I think I'm going to jog that over and down a little bit. And if I come into the CSS, I think 5 pixels ought to do it. So I'll drop the position from the top and pull the position from the right. If I save this, and now if we refresh this, it'll push it down. Perfect. That's exactly where I want it. Now I've got to get some icons and hook up some logic. So the user account personalization area is coming along. I'm outputting a nice cart icon up there at the top. And then here's a placeholder for showing the items that are in the cart. Right now I just have it hard-coded to zero. And finally we have a little bit of an authentication check here. So if the user is recognized, we can show them their account and then also the ability to log out. And then if they are not recognized, then we have a login and register placeholder links. So if we take a look at the site, you can see that this looks pretty decent here. It's kind of what I want. We have some alignment issues here, but I can take care of that as we refactor out the CSS. But what is coming important to me right now is that when a user is shopping and they do add boots and so on or whatever they're going to buy, if we recognize them, we've got to be able to use their username. So at this point, what I'm going to do is I'm going to implement the authentication system. It's time to set up membership for the Commerce MVC site. As you can see, my database here is not configured yet to work with it. I do have an ASP.NET membership database on my server. However, what I'm going to do for convenience is just build the tables and everything that I need inside my database here so I can have it all in one place. You can change this if you need to. It's really easy to uninstall. So the first step in doing this is to work up the ASP.NET Reg SQL. So let's do that. First thing you want to do is open up the Visual Studio command prompt, and that's just in your Start Programs under Visual Studio 2008 is the one I'm using, and then Tools. And then what you're going to run is the command ASP.NET, spelled correctly, regsql. And then what that does is it create or pops up this wizard. And then you basically step through the wizard, and we're going to configure SQL Server for app services. You also notice if you want to remove it, you can choose that, and you can remove this if you need to. This is my server, and I'm going to put it in the Commerce MVC database, and then hit Next, and it's running and running. And so I'm going to pause this while it goes. All right, so it's all finished. And now, close this up, come in here, refresh my database, and we have all the ASP.NET tables that we need now. If you're not familiar with the membership system, it's just a collection of tables and stored procedures, etc., that allow you to run membership for multiple applications on your site. Okay, so that is set in terms of data. Now what I want to do is open up my web config and configure it now. Okay, I've added in the providers here, one for each thing, the role, the membership, and the profile. And it's probably, I'm sure, familiar to a lot of you. The application name, I've made sure that I've set each one here. And I'm using the SQL Server role provider. And the connection string name, I'm going to be using membership, so I'll talk about that in just a second. But I've gone and reset the application name for each one. And ready to go. So now what I need to do in my connection strings up here, if you notice it's empty, what I need to do now is add the connection string called membership. Whoops, I closed that. So I'm going to do that right away. Okay, so I have my connection string all set. My forms authentication is hooked up. And we are good to go with Forms Authentication. I'm going to start working now with users, and I've created a new test class here called User Tests, and I have, it's my first test right here. You can see I'm just basically testing that the object exists. So, and I know a lot of people have been reading my blog or wondering why do I do this, because it's basically testing the language and so on. And again, I'm not testing the compiler at this point. This is a habit I'm trying to force myself into, which is doing everything test first. Again, TDD is a design process. So right now what I'm going to do is I'm not going to trip this and make sure it breaks. I know it will, so I'm going to create my user class. Okay, here is my user class. Pretty basic stuff. Once again, I have some basic properties. First, last, email. And now I can run my test, make sure everything works, and we get a green light. So that's good. Okay, I've created a new iUser repository interface, so I can start dictating out the methods that I want. First and foremost, I've done this before about 100 times. This is my pattern now. I create an interface, get users, and if you can hear that siren, I apologize. It's another big swell today, so people tend to get in trouble out there. Anyway, I've also created a test user repository that implements iUser repository, as you can see here, working up a list of fake data and returning it as queryable. So now that I got the repository set up, I am ready to come in here and start writing tests for the repository. Okay, here are the tests for the user repository. Pretty simple ones here. The first two, again, just test to make sure that the data that I'm creating on the fly for my test repository is indeed working the way I want, and then I can pull users out singularly as well as in a batch there. Next, what I'm doing here is I am testing to see if I can log in a user, and you can see it doesn't contain that. So now what I need to do is make it so that I can log a user in. So let's go to the repository here, the iUser repository, and I'm going to add a new method called LoginUser. And what that's going to do is just return a Boolean, and it's going to accept a username and a password. So then what I'm going to do here with my repository is create another method called login. Now, if you want to know if you're ever implementing an interface here, you can type it out yourself, or if you're not really sure about it, you can come in here and say implement interface, and it will do that for you, which is a nice little handy trick. So let's do that right now. Here's my implemented method to make sure I can log in the user. So now if I go back here and build my test project up, it should build. And ideally it does. Great. And so now what I can do is, instead of password, I am now going to set this to first one, last one, and that is the name of, if you look back here in my test repository, you can see I got first and I and last plus I, and I'll make that lowercase right there. So now if I go back here and run this test, hopefully that'll work. And so we've built out a nice login method. There we go. And now I'm going to run registration. Okay, here's a test that the user repository can register their user. Now, obviously this doesn't exist, this register user method. I need to come into my user repository and build it out. Now, again, I want to talk about, is this really doing anything coming in here and kind of testing out this test user repository that is really not doing much? And the answer is yes, it is. And the point is not that I am building out this kind of useless test repository. The point is that I'm building these tests and that the tests are driving the design. So keep that in mind. This is test-driven design. Test-driven development, kind of the same thing. So this is a design process. I'm going to pause this now, and I'm going to leap down, or kind of write out all the tests for the user stuff here, the repository, so I feel comfortable. And then I'm going to leap into a little bit more logic. So let's do that. I've skipped ahead about 30 to 45 minutes into the future here, and I finished up testing the basic repository stuff, making sure that the repository I have, my test repository, is kind of doing the things I wanted to do, because the rest of the tests are based on that. Next, what I did is I created a service class, and I've implemented all these tests to make sure that the logic that's in that class works. Now, my service classes are where I'm keeping all my business logic. And so if you want to take a look here, see the things I'm doing, it's the same pattern that I have. I have a repository that I'll instantiate once I have a kind of SQL repository built up here. But I'm also allowing the constructor to take a repository, and this helps so I can test things. The repository is responsible for doing basic things like returning a singular user or a list of users. Also, logging in and registering, and you can see I have some logic that I'm implementing in the form of validations before each one of these things happens. So I don't want to rely on the repository to do any of this stuff. I want to be able to take this up a level into my application so I can just ask the repository if the user's there or not. This is really going to help if you don't want to use the user system that I'm using here, and I'll show you more of that in just a bit. But for right now, I'll head back over to the test class, which is this guy here, and we can take a look at all the tests that I've written, which include all the functionality you just saw. In other words, we test to make sure that the password's not empty, question's not empty on registration, all the things to make sure it works. And so I wrote all those out while I implemented the logic in the user service class, and I have to say, it's a pretty cool feeling to be able to sit here and run this test entire class and see all the green passes, and you kind of start to feel good about what you're doing. So there is that. And now I'm ready to implement my SQL user repository, so I'm going to do that right now. Created a basic users table in the database. I am going to be using the ASP.NET membership stuff, and you can see it right here. But I don't want Link to SQL to manage that. There's a whole API that'll do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the API in tandem with Link to SQL. Might not be the most efficient thing in the world, but that's what I'm going to do. Unless you guys have a better idea, I'd love to hear it. But it's a basic users table right now. It's just what I need to fulfill the first round of requirements here. I've set the primary key to be the username. Usually I have an ID in here, an integer key, you know, for speed and performance and so on, but I'm going to be querying mostly on username, and if I throw a primary key on it, it'll put a clustered index down on it, which tends to speed things up, so I'm not too worried about that. So moving on, I've added the user table here to my link to SQL. If we take a look at the data access and we open up link, you can come down and see I've added users in there. So now I'm ready to go with wiring this up to my SQL user repository. Here is my SQL user repository. It follows along the same pattern that I've been doing here. I have a singular data context here that I'm going to be using through the lifetime of this instance. Instantiated here, turn off object tracking. Any kind of inserts I do within the scope of a using statement. The login routine uses the membership API. So this is real simple stuff. I'm just saying validate user, and it's going to use the current application settings, which I just set in the web.config earlier, and it's going to just pass in the username and password and hopefully return true or false. And then the register user, this is a little bit more complicated here. At first it's pretty simple. This, I don't know if anybody's ever used the worked against the API directly, but simple method, create user. It uses an output here to return a membership create status. If it's success, then what I need to do at that point is add the user to the database. This is where it gets a little tricky in trying to synchronize two systems. Ideally this would be done in a system.transaction, but there's some complications with that and having the DTC needing to run on the server. I don't want to get into all that, so what I'm doing here is if I create the user and it's successful, I try and add them to the database. If for some reason there's an error, I'll delete the user back out. So that's, I think that's a fairly safe system right there. I might move this to more of a transaction later. Pretty simple stuff right there. If it fails for some reason, I'm just going to throw an invalid operation. And then it gives you the reason, the output status there gives you a reason as to why, so I just can throw all that. But hopefully, this stuff will have been caught by my service class before I've thrown it in. I can't rely on all the repositories having this kind of system, so I want to make sure that's in my one spot in my service class. Okay, well that's pretty easy to implement this API. What I'm going to do now is create some integration tests to make sure this all works. This is the spike test that I'm going to be running to make sure that the user system is synced up and works right with our membership and our user table. So I'm balancing two systems at once, and not the most ideal thing, but I really like how ASP.NET has membership built in. But I also want to have control over my users, and I want to be able to kind of look outside the using just the profile, because I'm going to want to do reporting in the future on return users. So the first test here, this is just a utility test, and I'll show you how I'm going to use that in a second, but the first test here registers a user and checks to make sure that they're in the system and so on. So what I'm going to do right here for the first part of this test is I'm just going to comment this section out right here, and I'm going to run this, and before I run it I want to pull up SQL Server and show you that here's my users table, and there's nothing in there, and there's nothing in the ASP.NET membership table. So when I register, or excuse me, yeah, when I run this and the user gets registered, nice and fast, which is good, and I run this, you can see that a test user has been added to the membership system, and same with our users database, so that's pretty cool. And now if I run this whole test, no, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to run my utility method here to delete that user out, and that's going to delete the user, so I come back to the SQL Server here, and you can see the user is removed. It's a good sign. So now what I can do is run this whole thing as one single unit. And good, it's great. So now I can kind of keep running it. It runs as a unit, and that's nice. Okay, well, the next test is I'm registering the user again. Same user, same password, everything like that. And what I'm doing now is I'm just making sure that that user can log in. Pretty basic stuff, and then I'm dropping the user one more time out of the system. So I can actually keep this integration test. Again, it's just a spike, but I can keep this. It's going against my live system. I'm not very happy about that, but you know, I'm all right with it for now. So we know that our membership system works, and if we come back here to our repository, it's pretty simple code, nothing really major to it, and so I'm happy with that. So now my next step in the next episode is going to be integrating the cart more fully, and so I'm very excited about this. Things are moving along nicely. This is the end of part 10. Thank you.